Good afternoon. This is welcome to Smart Future webcast podcast. This is our seventh session, and today we have the honor of Jason Schick from Confluent. And welcome, Jason.
Thanks, James. Good to be here.
And first, you know, I know you and I worked together at IBM several years ago, so glad that you could make it. But maybe give a little background, and we can start the session after your background.
Sure. Yeah. So. I've been working in the data space for 25 years at this point, which is kind of hard to believe. I've spent a lot of that time worrying about how to enable analytics and how to go get data necessary to feed those analytics. And so, you know, this chapter of my career at Confluent fits very naturally into that. It's a problem space that continues to get attention, rightfully so, because, the ability to provide meaningful, relevant information to impact, you know, the missions and better support our warfighters continues to be a challenge. And you know, where we are here at Confluent is pretty exciting because we do a couple things that are different that we haven't done in the past. And I'm looking forward to the conversation and just talking a little bit about it to you guys.
So I think we're going to call this session Data in Motion. So maybe can you kind of explain where this fits in, you know, again, several DoD use cases, but, you know, where do you see Confluent, specifically your product Kafka or your platform fitting in?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the thing that's most exciting about Confluent and, you know, which is based on Apache Kafka, and there are probably a number of folks listening here that are familiar with Kafka. It's one of the most successful open source projects out there in the world. But what we've done that I think is most significant is we've reimagined the way data should be treated. Historically, we've thought of data as a passive asset, and we've pivoted that. So now we view it as Confluent imagines data as an active asset. And that's got really profound implications for anybody or, you know, any organization that needs to be highly responsive to changing environments. And so, you know, in the past, you know, data gets generated or collected and then it's stored somewhere and it stays there until someone or something finds it and understands it and then retrieves it. And a lot of times with, you know, some complex integration or they're retrieving it from a batch file. And there tends to be a lot of organizational friction associated with doing that. And so every enterprise that's been around for a while has ended up building lots of systems to store copies of data for their own purposes. And that works. But then it starts to be really hard to keep data in sync across systems. And that makes it hard to know sometimes what data to trust and what not to trust. So with Confluent, like I said, built on top of Apache Kafka, we put data in motion. A good analogy is like the central nervous system of a body, so that any properly credentialed system or user can get that data tapped from the source anytime there's an event of interest to them that adds to their operational picture. And so flipping that script like we have, it removes a lot of the consistency and the data currency challenges that, you know, we see when we're doing things like counting inventory of parts or supplies or personnel, where a lot of times systems will disagree with one another, even on fundamental facts, like how much have we got? So that's at a sort of at a macro level, that's the most interesting thing about Confluent, about Kafka. Now, if we want to get into some use cases here, I'm happy to do that. Or if you want to kind of poke at me on those points I just made, go for it.
Yeah, I think where I see it, like the old mindset was I'm building a command and control application or a DoD application, and I usually have an API to connect to a database, you know, that, you know, and then I constantly have to manage that API. And, you know, 5 years later, either the database changes or the API becomes stale or certain things don't support and it's suddenly broken. So can you maybe explain how Confluent can help in that category?
Yeah, for sure. And that's really putting your finger on the challenge. when you have to do an API integration, that requires a pretty deep understanding of your source system. And so you've got to know a lot about the schemas and the way the API calls work. And then if that changes, then you're in trouble with your downstream systems. With Kafka, what you get is it's drawing from some of the better characteristics of a publish and subscribe paradigm, where that source can simply publish the data up into a universal data pipeline. So you decouple your source and your consumer. And that means that when you make changes to your source system, your consumers can continue right along without being brought down, without worrying about breaking API integrations. And probably more importantly, you start to get reuse of that data source. You know, a lot of times you've got a lot of different systems that either do use or would like to use system from a particular source, whether it's sensor data or could be just inventory and supplies data. You don't want the organizational friction of having to manage SLAs and manage integrations with a whole bunch of downstream systems. It's a lot better for the people that manage that one source to be able to publish. And then whoever's credentialed to go get that data can then they can simply subscribe. And that what that does, it starts to create a network effect over time. It makes it easier to field new capabilities and new systems. And it also makes it easier to retire old ones.
So Jason, are you suggesting that you could bypass the API architecture paradigm and move into this pub sub?
Yeah, you can. I mean, API has its place, Mark. And we see a lot of API usage, especially when an organization is dealing with external entities, right? APIs bring a certain degree of security, and you can certainly find other advantages to using the API at times, but it requires a lot more work technically. And so with Kafka, it's more of a messaging layer way of publishing and subscribing to data that's of interest. So a lot of times you'll see an organization use the two of them together. But a lot of our customers that have started to use Confluent have started to recognize that because it does reduce that friction, that they do start to use the Confluent platform a lot more broadly, especially when they're dealing with trusted sources and targets.
So would you want to publish to a data lake and then access the data lake from any application that needs to access that data?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty common pattern. Where it gets even more interesting is you want to be able to move data to where it's needed most in the moment that it's needed. And so when you're collecting data as it's being generated, you probably want to be able to move that up into a data lake or some sort of analytics platform to do machine learning and AI and derive other insights. And so a lot of customers are publishing data using Confluent. Good example is in a lot of cyber modernization use cases where they're using Confluent to collect the data off the sensors at the edge and then bring it, you know, up to a data lake. But at the same time, there are actors that might need that data in real time. And so Confluent allows you to move the data intelligently to where it's needed most without having to build a couple different parallel integration paths.
Yeah, I think where you know, in the world of real time, you know, people want to, they can't wait, right? I mean, it used to be batch processing. In the world of cyber, you know, we want to grab that PCAP data or those syslogs. We found, like when I was at Elastic, that the underlying connectors, Kafka was one of the major tools to collect the data and create that real time process. So you're not waiting around.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we see Elastic and Confluent show up in a lot of cyber modernization architectures for that reason.
So Jason, how hard is it to take a legacy sensor, for example, and move into a publishing mode with Confluent?
Well, it's a pretty straightforward process, Marv. Yeah, it's the as a software development platform, we've got a Connect framework that allows any skilled software developer to just access the interfacing standards that ship with the product using Java or C++ or .NET. And so it's a messaging level integration that people with those basic software development skills generally possess.
Cool.
Kind of the whole buzzword, obviously, in DoD with DevSecOps and Platform One and Black Pearl in the Navy and the Forge with the Aegis Combat System. And, the Air Force has several software factories with Ski Camp and Surf Camp. What is your experience? Are you seeing people understand Kafka, or they don't understand it? There's an education required. Can you comment a little bit on that?
Yeah, so Kafka's been a successful open source project. And what we find is in a lot of cases, customers are pretty familiar, especially software development oriented people. They're pretty familiar with Kafka and its core capabilities. Especially the DevSecOps folks have embraced Kafka and Confluent. You can kind of think of us as providing the data layer for DevSecOps framework. And what we do, because you get that publish and subscribe sort of underpinning paradigm, we make it easy for them to access data and really put it to use as they're designing and testing applications and then iterating on them. So you see, one of the challenges that bedevils people that are building analytics environments is how do you access data? And you need something that's a reusable sort of modular approach to data access. And so the DevSecOps folks generally understand that. In particular, we've spent a lot of time working with the Iron Bank team within Platform One. And so they have certified Confluent Platform in Iron Bank. So we've built a hardened distribution of Confluent Platform, a hardened distribution of Kafka that's out there and available to users of Iron Bank.
And it's gone through the continuous ATO process, or plans to go through the CATO process.
That's correct. Yeah. So we're in there. People that have access to Iron Bank can go and pull us down right now.
Yeah. Which I'm aware that like even Overmatch Software Armory is connected to Iron Bank. It's the temporary repository for both Navy and Air Force right now.
It's pretty interesting because Platform One was trying to run itself completely on open source without licensed products. So your subscription model apparently flies in the face of that. Is that true?
Well, that's probably better addressed by others. But I think what's relevant for me to say on that, Marv, is Kafka by itself, it has a lot of virtues to it. But some of the things that we add around it are essential for use in the mission space. So, we provide the enterprise-grade security that you've got to have in mission-critical workloads. We provide more than 200 different connectors to different data sources and targets. We provide a Kubernetes operator, which is important to be able to have the administrative and operational controls that you want in an environment like this. So, I don't want to try and comment to how they arrived at deciding that a subscription software product is compatible with their worldview, but we've had success working with them.
Yeah, and I'd add, Marv, I found there's kind of two parts of it. It's one, all the extra capabilities that an engineer could develop it, but it would be 2-3 man years to develop, and then the government has to support those components. Or you could just spend the license fees, which are minimal, and it's on a subscription model, it's always supported. Then the other part is they also provide support, and one of the RMF requirements of any commercial tool is you've got to have a support story, right? So I saw most of the times they bought the license version because they wanted that support and they had to check the box from a risk management point of view.
Well, to your point, Jim, I'm always amused by the dichotomy of our S&T organizations like to use complete open source to develop capabilities and then throw it over the fence to the acquisition folks for the products, for the programs of record. But programs of record in general can't get approval to use a pure open source product. They really want supported open source. Yep. So that's hence the creation of Red Hat and the success they've had within the department.
Yeah. Or I will say there's based on our acquisition discussions we've had, is they'll fund the service side of it and the people they need to write the code, but they don't budget for the actual SaaS licenses. And that takes a while. The good news is sometimes after a while they figure it out and the cost is minimal compared to 10 man years to do this.
I think that's consistent with our experience too. There are plenty of cases we've had where we encounter developers that have been working with Kafka for a long time. And there's a lot of benefit to that. They learn how the software works and they decide where it fits. But then when it becomes time to field capability, the conversation is a little bit different. And what you find when you kind of look into the Kafka ecosystem is the vast majority of the commits to the open source code base come from Confluent employees. And the origin story of Kafka is at LinkedIn 10 years ago, our founders developed it because they tried to buy some various COTS offerings that would help solve a problem they had, and they couldn't find something that worked. So they built something and that became Kafka. And as is common with a lot of these open source projects, there's a company that kind of is the clear expert in that particular open source project. And for Kafka, that's Confluent.
That's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, which I think is the future, right? You're starting to see H2O.ai is the machine learning platform that's based on open source. Elastic is the search engine based on open source. Obviously Red Hat with Linux, right? They started that. So DTIQ with Mesoscale, Kubernetes.
Yeah.
There's a DoD strategy memo, a lot of OSD. I my experience is like the world of data is still kind of old legacy. Could you maybe comment, like, do they get this data in motion concept, that you don't have to wait 9 hours for a batch process to get the answer? You can get it in real time, just like Walmart knows their inventory or Best Buy knows their inventory in real time, as opposed to, this report's based on last night's batch run.
Yeah, if you look at like the memo that came out from Ms. Hicks, it's designed to be pretty broad, right? And not necessarily too prescriptive. But there are a couple of important concepts that I read into it. There's a need to make data discoverable, there's a need to make data actionable. I'm looking for a couple other talking points as I scroll through my laptop, but the challenges the DoD faces is how do you get the data in the hands of people that are going to do something with it? And it's the ability to make data available and accessible and then operational, right? Like, it's one thing to collect it and do interesting things with it, sort of in an offline capacity, but then how do you take it and actually apply it to the mission? And so when a lot of what I'm reading in memos like that sets the stage for how do you take it and make it operational. And so when we at Confluent look at that, we say, okay, we can help with the accessibility. Data needs to be discoverable. It needs to be shareable. It needs to be reusable. So publish and subscribe naturally aligns to that, but just as important, once you've discovered it and started to understand it, how are you going to actually bring it to the people that need it? Because they're downrange, they're in an environment that's hot and changing fast, and we think we fit into what those objectives kind of lay out, but we also set the stage to really put that data in motion to help the people that need it most.
Yeah, there was a joint all domain command and control session this week. And there was a great Army officer who's made a comment like the biggest problems with what we're trying to solve is there's too many enclaves and then the data are, there's too many different data formats. So do you help out on, you know, in the publish subscribe model where you help kind of come up with a common schema or at least, you know, push for data to come to some common format, which is maybe it's JSON or whatever?
Yeah, so we sort of take a different tact on that. So we allow for a degree of schema independence. And so as long as your source system can publish and your consumer can read, then we're gonna let that data move as it needs to go. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's been a struggle for the DoD, it's been a struggle for any large enterprise, has been if you try to really flatten everything and drive to a single standard, you never get there. Mm-hmm. So you have to allow for a degree of you know, heterogeneity in the way data is produced and the way it's consumed. And so we're not really trying to create a single monolith at all. What we're really after is how do you just make that data available? And there's always going to be work that needs to be done for your consuming application to interpret the data and put it in context so that it's meaningful to whoever uses it. Where we help though is all these staging environments that got stood up because you needed to access a copy of the data that you could actually get at without relying on some other program that had other priorities. All those staging environments have a chance to be removed when it makes sense and when you've eliminated the disruptions that taking them out will cause. So over time, you can have a single, you know, you can have a library of your data sources. And that's what you go to when you have a mission need.
Yeah, or you just complement that data lake. Like I know in the case of, like I know Noble, right, which is the NTCSS replacement, Marv on the Navy, they're using Kafka, as that central nervous system, and they were, you know, but the data lake is, I think, TBD with some recent things that are going on.
And so, Jason, can you relate how the AIML needs of all of these new projects like Overmatch can relate to Confluence?
Sure. Yeah. So that's an important one, right? So, first off, we're not really an analytics platform. What we do is we get data and we move it. We want to put the data where it's needed. In any of those AI and ML scenarios, data acquisition is important. So you can build, test, refine the models. So we help with data acquisition. But then when you build those models, they have to be operationalized. And so you, in a lot of cases, you want to be running those models on the data in real time. As the data is streaming off your sensors, as it's coming in from your command control and your ISR systems, you want to be able to apply those algorithms right for maximum advantage in the moment that you're collecting that data. And so how do you do that? Well, we're that data in motion platform. We're that tactical data mesh or a tactical data fabric. And so you take those algorithms that you've developed and you've hardened and refined in those analytics environments, and you operationalize it running as part of those data streams that the Confluent actually handles for you.
So I think we're getting close to our time. So any closing comments, Marv or Jason? And obviously, you know, we'll put the recording, we'll put links up on the YouTube channel for, you know, anything you want to put, Jason, as far as how to get more information or upcoming workshops or anything like that. But why don't we do a closing comment from you?
Yeah, sounds great. So first of all, I appreciate the time, Jim and Marv. We touched on use cases sort of indirectly, but a couple things just to leave with listeners here. So for handling like sensor to sensor in theater, data transmissions, like a tactical data mesh is a workload that we've seen a number of times. Handling telemetry data and ISR data and synchronizing that across ground stations is another use case we see a lot of. Keeping like inventory of things like supplies and parts synchronized around the globe for better maintenance and readiness of the fleet. It's another use case that we see ourselves serving both in the DoD and for a lot of commercial organizations too. So we're a data platform, and we support a whole lot of use cases. Jim, you mentioned cyber modernization before. So we'd love to talk more about any of those with anybody that's interested. In the middle of September, we have Kafka Summit coming up. And so Confluent hosts that. That's the annual global user event. And it's not a marketing boondoggle at all. It's actually a great chance to hear from a lot of different customers how they're using Kafka. And there's a government track. We're going to have a number of different agencies talking about what they've done and the problems they've solved. So the dates are September 14th and 15th. Anybody that's interested can go online and find that. And Jim, sounds like I'll get a chance to drop a link in the attachment to this. So I hope this reaches somebody that wants to attend and then they get a chance to join us.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. Marv, any last comments?
No, I'm very, very informative. Thank you very much, Jason. I much appreciate it and look forward to learning more about Confluent and Kafka. So thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thanks to both of you guys. Really appreciate it.